Okay, so I am going to now put everyone on a mute, and obviously unmute yourself when you want to add a comment. And we are going to begin. Oh, good to see you, Mindy. Okay, great. So today we're going to talk about the end of Parshas Chayisara. We're going to talk about this woman, Keturah. And who she was. What's interesting is Parshas Chayisara basically has three chapters. First chapter, Perek Chaf Gimel, is all about Sarah. Second chapter, Perek Chaf Dal, is all about Rivka. And the third Perek, Perek Chaf Hey, is all about Keturah, or at least the first part. So as such, the message, if you think about Parshas Chayisara like that, that Perek Chaf Gimel is Sarah, Perek Chaf Dal is Rivka, and Perek Chaf Hey is Keturah, then perhaps we could argue that when Sarah dies, so she this results in a void on two levels. Avraham is without a wife, and we are left without a new matriarch. Keturah fills the first void, and Rivka fills the second void. And of course, when we're our focus is not on Rivka, our focus tonight is on Keturah. Now, Rivka, of course, she takes the place of Sarah. There's a famous Rashi Medrash based on Rashi. I have here. Rashi says that Vayivyahu Ola Venas is Dukma Sarah Imo, that Yitzchak brings Sarah, I'm sorry, Rivka to the tent, to Ha'ohela, to her tent, and she became like a model, like an example of her mother Sarah, his mother Sarah. Kolomar var harehi Sarah imo, that basically Rivka was like his mother Sarah. She calls Mancha Sarah Kayemes, that as long as Sarah was alive, Hoya ner dolog be'er of Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, there was a fire burning from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Ubracha Matsuya Be'isa, there was a bracha that's found in the dough. Vanad Kashur Al Ha'ohel, and there was a cloud that was on the tent. U Mishemesa Pasku, and once she died, all of these things stopped. Ukshabasa Rivka Chazru. And when Rivka came back, so she came to the tent, so all of these miracles returned. Okay? So again, in fact, the requirement of the wife for Yitzchak was that she should leave her homeland, and that's what Avram did. And also, what was the condition of Eliezer, or what was the condition that who was supposed to replace Sarah? What quality was she supposed to have? What quality was she supposed to have, the wife of Yitzchak? Chesed, right? And that was just like Avram. In other words, Rivka, in some respects, was like Avraham. Rivka leaves her homeland like Avram did, and she was a woman of Chesed, just like Avram was. In other words, Avram's daughter-in-law will be evaluated in two basic characteristics of Klal Yisrael: kindness and faith. So that being said, that's not my topic really tonight. My topic tonight is, why does Avram remarry? And I think there are two possible reasons, right? One is perhaps, well, what are the two broad possible reasons why Avram marries? Forget about who Keturah, what, forget about the identity of Keturah. I'm sure we all have studied this before. We have different approaches. But what would be two possible broad reasons why Avram would remarry? Yes. So number one, Ben, good to see you, or good to see your name. So number one is for personal reasons. Avram was lonely. So it could be for personal reasons he wanted to get married, remarry, and perhaps why else maybe? Why else might he have wanted to have children? Right. In other words, could be what did right. In other words, we see in Perek Chaf Hey, Pasuk Aleph, Yosef Avram Vikach Isha Shmo Keturah, he gets married to Keturah, and then all of a sudden she has all these children, Zimran, Yokshan, Medan, Minyan, Yishbak, Shua. It's actually a little a little bit of ironic, because Sarah, when she hears that she's going to have a child, she's shocked that Avraham Avinu could have a child, being that he's so old, when in fact, she was the one with the fertility problem, right? Because as soon as Sarah cannot have a child, she gives Hagar to Avram, and right away, Hagar gets pregnant. Soon as Avram marries Keturah, what happens? He has all these kids. So it seems like Sarah was the one who had the fertility problem, which is, you know, it is what it is. But so he has all these children: Zimran, Yokshan, Medan, Midian, Yishbak, and Shuach, and the whole dynasty that's built after Sarah dies. And I also am interested to know, one thing I want to figure out also is in Pasuk Vav here, in Perek Chafei, we talk about V'libnei ha-pilagshim, asher la'avram nasan avram matanos. There's a reference to the children of the pilagshim. So is the pilagshim, who might the pilagshim be?
Either the wife or somebody else.
Right. In other words, are these pilagshim, or I don't know, it seems, what? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Why do you say that, Evan?
Because otherwise, if it was Keturah, who was Hagar, but not Hagar, then there would be the happy legash. If Keturah and Hagar are the same person, right, there would be the singular.
Right,
the
so, legash, right. So assuming, Evan, assuming that Safaria is correct, we're going to challenge that assumption, but assuming Safaria is correct, then it would seem that not only does Avram, he marries a woman named Keturah, but it seems, again, assuming Safaria is correct, and he had concubines, plural, so it would seem that if this doesn't refer to Keturah, because that's referred to multiple, so it would seem that he had kids with perhaps other women. So I would try to figure out all of these different questions. Why does Avram get married? Who is Keturah? And who are these B'nai Pilagshim? And again, I think there are two different approaches, and they are not necessarily mutually exclusive. So number one, Ben suggested that maybe it's for personal reasons. He is, could be, and I think you can, I think within the personal reasons, you can break it up into one of two reasons. Either he was lonely, or because, and she, this was a new woman, Keturah, or of course, maybe she was Hagar. And of course, if she was Hagar, then what's the question?
Why is it a different name?
Why is it a different name, right? You always have to ask that question. You know, what? Oh, no, I haven't taken a position that on yet, Evan. I haven't taken a position yet on who the Pilagshim are. We're just working on who Keturah is, and we'll have to deal with the Pilagshim a little bit later. We'll get to it. So who is Keturah? So Rav Amar says, Bracious Rava, Rav Amar Zo Hagar. This is Hagar. And the Pirkei de Rav Eliezer tells us a very tragic story. Amar Sarah Lavram, Ksov Get Gerashim, La'ama Vishalach, Esa'ama Zos, Mi'alai, Mi'al Yitzchak Benai, Bini, Minolam Azem, Minolam Haba. Okay, so that Sarah said to Avram, after Avram married Hagar, so Sarah said, write a get to this woman and send her away. And the Medrash writes, Mikol Haroel Shebol Avram, Hera Be'enav Hadar Zemot. This is the worst thing from all the bad things that happened to Avram. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nigla Kadosh Baruch Hu, Alav, Hashem revealed himself to him, Amar Lo Avram, Einat Yodea, Shayisa Lacha Sarah Ruya Leisha May Imav Hi Chav, I guess, Chav, Chavert, So Hashem said to him, listen, Sarah is going to be the mother of your children. She's going to have a child. She's your friend. She's the wife of your covenant. Sarah is your wife. Hagar is your maidservant. Anything that Sarah said, it's truthful. It shouldn't be bad in your eyes. Hishkim Avram, because of Get Gerishin, so Avram got up, he wrote a get. Binasan the Hagar gave it to Hagar. Veshalach also Vesbana Bina Me'alav Me'al Yisuf Bino Me'alav Mazev Lomaba. He sent them away from this world to the next world. Shalach Yishmael Velakach Lo Isha Bibdos Moav. Yishmael sent and took for him a wife from the daughters of Moav. La'achar Shalosh Shadim. After 3 years, Halach Avram Liros Es Yishmael Bino. Avram went to see Yishmael Lishad. Benishba Lisara Shalo Yered Me'al HaGamal B'magom SheYishmael Sharoi Taman. So Yitzchak, Sarah allows Avram to see Yishmael, his son, but he swears to Sarah that he's not going to descend from the camel where Yishmael is. So what can you not do if you can't descend from the camel? What can't you do? He said you can go see Yishmael, but you can't descend from the camel.
And embrace him.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. You cannot imagine this. Avram wants to embrace. I remember when I first came across this medrash. I think I was at like a rabbinic, meeting or rabbinic, retreat or something with Rabbi J.J. Schachter, and he was very emotional about this. You know, you can't even give your son a hug. It's a very powerful. But what?
Yeah. It's COVID-19.
Right. Yeah.
But Avram didn't have that problem because Yishmael wasn't there.
No, he was. He said you can go visit. You can go visit.
According to the Medrash, Yishmael wasn't there. He only met with a wife.
Okay. La'achar shalshem halach Avram liros et Yishmael b'no. He went to see Yishmael's son, but he swore to Sarah that he wouldn't descend from the camel.
Right.
So I'm saying
Yishmael wasn't there.
I understand. Yeah. But the point is the thought of I could only go see him, but I can't embrace him. That's very difficult. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. So la'achar bisasa shel Sarah chazar Avram v'lokach es grusha. So after Sarah died, Avram returned and remarried his divorcee. Shelev Rav Yosef Avram mikach isha. So then he took his wife. Keturah, and in fact, the Midrash Bereishis Rabba says that Yitzchak Babi Bo, where did he come from? Where did he go? He came from Be'er Lachai Ro'i, Halach Lavi Es Hagar, Osashe Yashval Be'er, Vamar Lachai Lamin Ra'e Be'el Bonai, right? That Hagar was by Be'er Lachai Ro'i, so Yitzchak himself brought Hagar back. So why is she called Keturah? So Rashi says Keturah, it's Hagar, and she's called Keturah. So shenai maser kiktores, that her deeds were beautiful like incense. Vishakashra pascha shalodis davgal adam miyom shapir shabiavrab. She sort of tied herself in a sense, in that she was celibate. She was not with another man from the day that she separated from Avraham. And that's the lashon. Rav Hirsch explains that keturah is in Aramaic is kashar. That she's tied segura latzma bodada below kesher im ish acher. She was knotted, tied up, closed up to any other man. What's interesting is that Rashi does say in Bereishis Chaf Aleph pasuk gadal vatelach vatesa chazur legilulei beisavia. She did return to idolatry. The Zohar writes though that she repented. So the Zohar says that that she repented here. That he says, "Lebasis kasha beuvdin dekshirim, who begin kach ishtarishmav ikra keturah." So it's interesting. Yeah, so one second. That I'm saying that the lashon of keturah according to the Zohar is that after when you said that her deeds were like ketores, that was after she did tshuva. So the way that we fit in this Rashi in Perchafei Pasagalov with Rashi Chaval Fudalid is that she leaves Avram. She goes back to idolatry. She does tshuva that her name is changed from Hagar to Keturah, and Avram marries Keturah, not Hagar. She's a different person. Evan, yeah?
Yeah. You said that Avram gave Hagar a gift.
I didn't say that. The Medrash says, what did it have? I don't know the details, but okay.
If that's the case, then she's not a Pelegish. Pelegish doesn't get a gift.
Correct.
A wife gift.
Pilegesh does not get, yeah, I think there's a discussion about that, I think. We'll get to it. I think it's a machlokes, Rashi.
Doesn't get a ksuva.
Yeah, I think there's a Ramban which talks about this. Yeah, we'll hopefully come to it. Yeah, okay, we'll come to it.
Rabbi,
yes.
You have to agree with the Zohar. What do you put? The Zohar that she did tshuva? Because it's unbelievable that Abraham would have married someone who still dealt with idols.
If you agree with Rashi that she returned to idolatry, the Torah never says that she returned to idolatry. Rashi is commenting on the pasuk "Vatelach Vatesa," that she from I guess the word "Vatesa" is like, you know, she's like wandering. That's like an extra language, and that indicates that she was involved in idolatry. So if you agree to Rashi's interpretation, then I agree with you. Then the Zohar fits it very nicely. Correct. So if you say that Avram did this because he was lonely, okay, that's wonderful. Then why all these kids? You know, gets married to her. Okay, then all of a sudden, the next few psukim are what? Six kids, six sons, and 10 grandsons in quick succession. So the second approach could be, again, it's not mutually exclusive from the first approach, is that he wanted more kids. The Yalkut Shimoni says, Yosef Avram v'yikach. The pasuk says, Baboker zerah zerecho, ula'erev al tarach yodecho. Imi yu lach bodi ben arosecha, kach lecha isha, in the evening, you shouldn't let your hands lay rest. If you have kids in your youth, you should have kids when you're older. You learn from Avram, who he took a wife and he had kids when he was young, when he was only 100, when he was young, he had a child. And then when he was older, okay, you know, when he was 137, okay, then he was old, okay? So, right? Everyone on this call, I think, right? Everyone on this call is under 100, so we're all young. So, right? So, when you're young, okay? Then, but even when you're old, when you're 137, you can still try to have children, right? In other words, the mitzvah doraisa of having children, a boy and a girl. But there's still these rabbinic ideas of trying to have kids even after the boy and the girl. And this is one of the psukim which is quoted. I think it's a Gemara in Yavamos as well. In any case,
Rabbi?
Yes.
Abraham was called Abraham because of Av Hamon Goyim.
Yes.
So maybe the Hamon Goyim would be because he has more children.
Correct. I'm not sure I'm going to rephrase what you're saying or sharpen or add to it, or maybe Hashem called Avram Av Hamon Goyim, and Avram wanted to fulfill that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you meant, right? That's right. I'm sorry?
No, I said either one way or the other way.
Right.
The reverse also true, which is what you just said now.
Right. I
thought of that too, but he already had Goyim, right? He had Yisachar Yishmael.
Right. Yeah. So quite right.
We need more than that.
Okay. You know, Mike has the most minimalist view of Goyim. Okay, but maybe you feel like you want to populate. Okay, like
Hamon means more than just two.
Yeah, Av Hamon Goyim. Right. Goyim. Ah, you're saying Av Goyim. Av Goyim is two. Av Hamon Goyim is more than two. Yeah.
Be more than two.
Okay. If you look here, yeah. So in any case. The question though is, what's fascinating is that he has all these kids, right? What happens? He gets married, he's lonely, he gets married to this woman, Keturah. He has all these kids, and they have kids. And then what does it say? Pasuk Hey, Vayitena, Avram is called Shiloh Yitzchak, gave everything they had to Yitzchak. And then, if they have Pilagim Shil Avram, Nasan Avram Matanos, he gives gifts to the concubines, the children of the concubines. And he sends them away. So Avram gets married to Keturah. He has all these kids. Wonderful, beautiful family, right? All get together for Thanksgiving. Now you can't because of the COVID restrictions, but whatever. They get right there. He has all these kids, really wonderful. And then he just sends them all away. Like, what's going on here? Right?
It's spiritual.
What?
Could be spiritual.
So why does he have them?
No, Yitzhak, he gave the real himself.
Right, okay.
The other children, he just told them certain things to do. Certain moral ideas.
Uh-huh. Okay, so right. So
his children are going to come from Sarah. She's not here anymore. It sends these away. They fulfilled their destiny with him already.
What's their destiny?
They are the nations that will come from Avram.
Okay. So we're gonna further sharpen that idea soon. Okay. So let's Abarbanel has an interesting shot, and he wants to say, he gives a whole bunch of reasons why Avram did this, and I want to focus on one of them is, you know, why Avram wanted to do this. The first answer that Abarbanel says, I think he has six reasons. So one of them is to fulfill that which. Is that like what Eva was saying? To fulfill that which was said, goyim ki av hamon goyim. So you're gonna have a lot of different goyim, a lot of different nations. Therefore, he gets married to Keturah, the holy man who asa umos. So one is to have a lot to av hamon goyim. He gives that the third reason is a very interesting one. He says because Yishmael would say, Hayimisnasi lemor shigam hu haya ben Avram v'hagar imo hayse ishto kishera. He said that what? I'm also Avram's son. Hagar was a kosher woman. Therefore, he should inherit just like Yitzchak. Just one second. After Sarah would die, Yikach Isha Acheres Keturah. He gets married to another woman, Keturah. But then he's going to have six children. So basically, what's he saying? It's to just demonstrate to Yishmael that he's really rejected. In other words, they're all. In other words, it's not just you and Yitzchak. We have a lot of kids. And just like I sent them away, I'm sending you as well. And the message is there'll be others who will try to usurp Yitzchak's special role in the world, claiming they are the children of Avram, but they're not going to prevail. Yitzchak does not prevail, and B'nai Keturah do not prevail. Sorry, Baruch, what do you want to say?
It's Kesara, probably. Ishto Kesara, not Keshira.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Sorry.
That's what I would read it.
Okay, wait a second. Yes. Sorry, my mistake. Yes. Okay, Evan. So Rashi has a different view than Sepharia. So Rashi says, apparently, in Rashi's Girsa, based on a Gemara, like this is one of these words, by the way, where there was a dispute whether it had the yud or not. What? What? I understand. So that's what I'm saying. So Shaloi Sela Pilegash Achas, he Hagar Hikturah. So there's a whole dispute whether this actually has a yud or not a yud. Okay?
It has a mem.
End. Yeah. So that's the question. So how do you deal with that? If you look the Gur Aryeh, the way he reads this, let's just give you an example. The Gur Aryeh says Hapilag Shim Chaser Ksiv Lo Yerak Pilagish Echad. So then what's the mem? Exactly what you said, Evan. What's the mem? He says V'yira Dekach Pirusha Shahayu B'nei Pilagish Achas Mina Pilag Shim Da Alma. Children of one Pilagish of all the Pilagshim. It's not great. I'm sorry?
He had more than two wives, Avram.
So I'm saying that it seems that Rashi is of the opinion that it was basically, Rashi is of the opinion that maybe it's, Rashi says there was only one Pilegesh. That's Hagar, that's Keturah. And he says, Nashim have, women have a Ketuvah, and Pilagshim do not have a Ketuvah. So I'm saying, Evan, according to Rashi, and that the Avram was only with Sarah and Hagar changed her name to Keturah. That was it. And Hagar is called a Pilagesh, or she's called one of the Pilagshim. That's the way Rashi understands it. Others disagree. The Rashba. What?
Same time.
I can't hear you?
You can't be an Isha and a Pilagesh. You can't be an Isha and a Pilagesh at the same time.
Right. So again, could be that, you know, you have to listen. I just, if you look here at Rashi, look at Rashi. Right? Rashi, Perichafei Pasuk Vav. Hapilakshim, Chaser Ksiv. Shlahoisa Ella Pilegesh Achas, He Hagar, He Ketuvah. He Ketuvah. So what's clear is that Rashi views Hagar as a Pilegesh. So even though Avram married her, that he took her, so maybe it was an Isha in the broader sense, but in reality, technically, she was only Pilegesh. I'm just saying that's what Rashi says. We have to deal with this Rashi. I don't see.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Couldn't she have been a Pilegesh at the beginning and now she became a wife?
That's not what it says. But in Pasuk Vav, it says Bnei Pilagshim. I don't see how you can read that in Rashi. In other words, right, Avram took a wife and her name was Keturah. So he took a wife, but you could say there are different types of Ishas. There's an Isha who's an Isha. There's an Isha who's a Pilegesh. Again, it's a little strained, a little stretched, but I don't see, reading this Rashi, how you could say otherwise. I don't see. The Rashbab says that who are the Pilakshim? Hagar and Keturah. That even though vis-a-vis, what Hagar, Avram took her as a wife, but she was still not a full-fledged wife. There's an Isha, there's an Isha. There are different types of Ishas. There's an Isha who's a full-fledged Isha, and there's an Isha who's a Pilagish. Okay, in any case, what?
So the same person.
So they are the same person.
They're not the same person.
According to Rashi, they are the same. Wait one second. According to Rashi, it's the same person. According to Rashi, Avram remarries Hagar. Okay? And Yitzchak is involved in bringing her back after Sarah dies. And there's a reconciliation. According to the Rashbam, Avram marries a new woman and her name is Keturah. Because the Rashbam is saying, if he remarried Hagar, then it would say that he married Hagar. It says he marries Keturah, so that's a different woman. Okay? Okay? So then... Yeah?
How does Rashi explain the plural about Pilashim if it's just one?
Yeah, so the Gur Aryeh attempts to do that, and it says that they are children of... it's not great. I'll just read you what the Gur Aryeh says. V'yira dekach pirusho, shahoyu b'nei pilegesh achas min ha-pilagshim de'alba. It says that they were the children of one pilegesh of many pilagshim. It's not great, but that's what it says. That there's the children of and to the children of one of the pilakshim that exists in the world. That's how the Gur Aryeh reads it. It's not a great reading, but it is what it is. Okay. Let me finish off with a fascinating take by the Rabbi Dan. I want to extend what Sandra said. Rabbi Dan said the following. We know that Avram, where does he send the kids? He sends them east, right? Says, Vayishalchem al Yitzhak bedo kedma, sends them east. Okay? Yeah, Adam, that is true. Now, Rav Meidan says that there are two different covenants with Avram Avinu. There's a covenant with, and this is like Baruch was talking about, there's a covenant with Yitzchak, right? The son of Sarah. He's going to inherit Eretz Canaan. And there's also another covenant with Avram Avinu in the Bris Be'er Sarim. What are the borders of the Bris Be'er Sarim? What are the borders in the Bris Be'er Sarim?
All the way up to Persia.
Well, what's it? What's the, where is that? So if you look, right, so where the borders are from Nahar Gadol, Nahar Pras, from Nahar Mitzrayim, from the Nile River, I guess, right? I guess the Nile River, until the Euphrates. right? So that's the greater Israel, right? That's the greater Israel. Avram is going to be an Av Hamon Goyim to the greater Israel from Nahar Mitzrayim to Nahar Gadol, Nahar Pras. So there are borders with the Mediterranean to the west, Negev to the south, Jordan River to the east, and Lebanon mountain range to the north. There's from Dan to Be'er Sheva. And then there's the broader Israel, the greater Israel, from the Euphrates to Egypt. So the Bris Beit Absarim doesn't specifically mention Yitzchak, just Avram's descendants. Rav Meidan suggests, it's a very creative suggestion, that to have a real independent Israel, the thin border from the Mediterranean to the Jordan is insufficient. We need a border from the Nile to the Euphrates. So who will inherit the land? So if you notice, Yishmael, when he's banished, where does he go? He goes to the south. The children of Keturah go to the east, right? The Edom, Esav's children, go where? To the south. Children of Lot, Ammon and Moab, are to the east. It seems that the goal is that the Holy Land, the land that will, you know, what is the Torah? What does the Torah say? The Torah says that in Perek Yerches, that says you shouldn't engage like the deeds of Mitzrayim and like Eretz Kanan. You shouldn't act badly. V'lo saki aretz aschem. And so the land doesn't spit you out. Okay? The land doesn't spit you out. So it seems the goal is that the Holy Land, the land that will spit out its inhabitants who don't observe the mitzvot, is from the Mediterranean to the Jordan. That's Klal Yisrael. But together with them, all the descendants of Avram should live. We believe in a two-state solution. We just need to redefine the borders. This is not a political statement. So, Mike, I know you're on the, I'm not making political. This is biblical. Okay? Just saying the biblical goal is the two-state solution, which is Eretz Yisrael to Bnei Yisrael from Dan to Be'er Sheva, right? And the broader, where the cousins should live in harmony, in peace and harmony, should go from the Jordan River all the way to Nahar Pras and you know, south and west to Nahar Mitzrayim. So Avram Avinu was, what? So Avram Avinu, 1 second. So Avram Avinu was not just doing his part in furtherance of the narrow goal of Eretz Canaan, but he was also doing his part in furtherance of the broader goal to include Egypt and Mesopotamia as well. So that's what he suggests, where it could be not just a personal reason, but there could be broader goals to fulfill God's covenant of Av Hamod Goyim, Nisaticha.